Okay. Hi everyone, my name is Michiel De Becker and this is my colleague Ghassan Mohammed. We are both from TwinTag. At TwinTag we do what we call connected products. Basically we bring data to physical objects in the real world. And as part of that we do have a need to handle data very flexibly. We don't see ourselves as a database vendor, more of a database user. But because of this flexibility we do some fun stuff and that's what we want to present to you today. So we already had a very nice overview of what Arrow can do earlier today, I think from Matthew. So I'm not going to go into this in depth, but there's basically two things to remember. Arrow is a in-memory format for columnar storage, and then we have the wire protocol, Arrow SQL Flight, to put stuff over the wire. So what do we want to do in our business? Basically, we have a whole bunch of data being stored in different formats internally. But what we want to do is we want to give the simplicity to the end user, basically giving them one query surface to interact with all of our all of this data. And that means we need to solve for the challenges in between. So mapping all this logical query access to the physical storage. You know, federating all the queries across that, and then also the governance for the multi-tenancy and stuff in between. So today we want to show you a little bit how we tackled this in our approach. This is the same picture, but a little bit more detailed. So on the all the way on the left, you have some of the access patterns. We have SQL query-like connectivity for our customers, as well as APIs and connectors for the common BI tooling. What you can see here also is that it gives two different types of access patterns. You have the SQL and the BI tooling, which is more OLAP related, but then the APIs tend to be more transactional access patterns. So we kind of have to solve for both in our stack. You already see a little bit of a hint of how we are tackling that. We did decide on using Data Fusion as our query engine. A little bit more on that decision later. And then downstream, you see all these different sources, you know, from relational databases to stuff in object storage, where we basically take incoming queries, cut them up, and federate them to those systems. And you know, I didn't open the slides with the Apache Arrow slide for nothing. We originally started using that for doing some data pipelines, but now that we're doing this query federation, we're actually slowly trying to adopt Arrow at every part of the stack, all the way from the connectivity, where we do have a SQL Flight connector, to Data Fusion, which is Arrow native, basically, and then also to the downstream databases now, including TidyB, for which I have something as well later. So Data Fusion, you also had a nice introduction already in the previous talk. What did we like about this? While we are a little bit more high up in the stack, you know, designing services for end customers, we ourselves are kind of still system designers, you know, not really database people, but we like to write services, you know, that form one whole and are not duct taped together with a whole bunch of scripts. So being able to embed Data Fusion and therefore have that control really aligned well with our goals there. It's also very well articulated by this slide that Andrew Lamb made in one of his presentations. He sees Data Fusion as the LLVM of databases, you know, really a tool that you can customize and embed in your service to do what you need. Here are kind of a couple of examples of that, as well as what we are doing. By the way, shout out to Andrew because he's one of those God-tier maintainers out there. What he did with fostering the Data Fusion community to what it is today is really impressive. Normally, I don't like to add a lot of code into slides, but what I wanted to do here is just give you a little bit of a flavor of what it means to embed something like Data Fusion into your services to kind of make it less scary for people, because we do recommend that you try do this yourself. So the very basics of this is, okay, how do you teach Data Fusion how to find your data? And that's where this table provider trait comes in. You just describe what the schema of your data source is and how to talk to it, how to scan a record. And that's how you plug in a new data source into the system. And then, you know, in our earlier slide, we showed that we need to do a whole bunch of stuff to map between the external world, the simplicity for our users, and the internal data systems. That includes stuff like remapping the names of things. You know, what's a table called might be different for the end user than what's in storage, for example. And Data Fusion has this really nice both analyzer and optimizer rules that you can ship to do things like, you know, these renamings, remappings, and all kind of stuff. Very easy to plug into the engine as well. And then finally, I think at face value, this might be a little bit underestimated, but this is just a way that you kind of spawn data fusion, how you set up what they call a session state, basically describing how one data fusion instance should act, so what catalog there is, which analyzers to be used, where to find the data. And this makes it very easy to set that up. You can do it dynamically, you know, depending on what request comes in. You load the configuration for that tenant, spawn the session state accordingly, and off you go to querying. So a little bit underestimated there, but very powerful for the kind of systems that we built. All right, so I said earlier in the talk that we have kind of a hybrid access pattern. We have some more analytical stuff, but also a lot of access patterns are transactional. And one thing that happens is if you try to federate a query to a remote system, is that if you start doing full database read for transactional systems, that's often very slow. What we need is to really get very specific data from the remote. So we've contributed this extension to Data Fusion that allows you to do just that. And I'll just, from a high-level point of view, explain how it works. So you might have a plan like this. You see on the right the plan, a couple of joins happening there. And it just so happens that on the right, the circled part of the plan is sitting in one remote database. So it could be TidyB, for example, in this case. So what does Data Fusion Federation do? It analyzes the entire plan, figures out which subplans are actually provided by one single remote database management system. It cuts that part out, and then it replaces it with an opaque node that will take that subplan, materialize it back into SQL or any other query language that the remote supports. And when the plan is being executed, it will you know, take out of its little part and go and query the remote database. And this allows you to do some parts of the plan remotely in the database management system that has that data, so it can do it very efficiently locally as such. Yeah, and then if you want to expose your Data Fusion you know, using a standard protocol like Apache Aeroflight, we made a little contribution there that allows you to just spawn it up very easily. And with, you know, with a couple of these systems, you can a couple of these libraries, you can actually throw together a whole bunch of different systems. Here is some examples from the community that people have built, from this kind of single pane of glass for data for AI purposes, to people doing workflow automation, and even some Web3 people, I think, aggregating data over multiple types of blockchains. So all kind of using the same components in different settings. Also, I think, showing that this is not created rocket science. Again, I would really implore people to just try it out. So with that in mind, here are the links to all of the stuff. Obviously, Data Fusion itself, the Federation, and the Flight SQL server. And there's also a contribution from the nice people at Spice AI, who created a whole bunch of table providers for basic files, but also for remote database systems, which have then support for Data Fusion Federation for efficiency sake. And then you can also see there is a pull request for TidyB, very much in the thought set of what Matthew described earlier. Let's try to get these databases to adopt Apache Aeroflight SQL as well, so that we can get the Aero flowing all the way from up the stack down to storage. All right, and then yeah, we just have a little demo combining all these things together, and Ghassan will show it.
Yeah, hello everyone. Yeah, so we built this demo based on everything we were talking about, and this is spawned two Docker container. One is MySQL and the other is a Postgres, and now we're trying to run a Flight SQL server. And this is the mapping that my friend was talking about, which we basically, so each table is in a different database. One is in the MySQL, and the other is in the SQLite, and the product table in the Postgres. And we have also mapping for the column as well. Yeah, so now we run the client. It's working now, yeah. So we run the client with the first query, which is just a filtering with a query, and this filtering is pushing down using the Data Fusion Federation, and we have also another query which do join with the multiple remote database tables. If you see this query, it has like a three table, one is the orders and it's users, and it join left join with the orders and products, which each one is locating a different remote database. Yeah. Yeah, that's the structure for the whole demo, and how we run this all component together to have this result.
Okay, great. If you want to look at the code at some point, it's this link at the bottom. You can figure out the entire demo. Basically, everything I presented today is in there. And yeah, it's not insane rocket science again, so I definitely implore people to try and embed some query engines into your services. All right. Thanks, everyone. Are there any questions?
Where is the schema defined?
Yeah, in the demo we have. You want to do that slide? So basically, in our stack, we have kind of a little bit of an object model that describes what the external facing world looks like. And this is what we use to steer the optimizers to do the mapping between the external user facing, more high level object model, and then all the internal storage behind the scenes. Yeah, there's a lightweight version of that in the demo we published. Obviously, internally, we have a more extensive setup. So I think the question is about the federation, how exactly the execution happens there.
Yeah.
So what happens is you look at the entire plan tree, and the Data Fusion Federation optimizer figures out which subplans, so little trees in the overall plan, are provided by the same remote source. And then it cuts out that part, all those little trees, materializes them back to whatever query format the remote supports. It could be SQL or something like FluxQL for old IndexedDB or something like that. And then when the plan has been executed, it goes ahead and does those queries on the remote. And then Data Fusion itself does the final job of bringing all of that together and creating the final outputs. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So there is... the subplans are being executed by the remote database, and then all tying it all back together happens in Data Fusion. So you try to push the computers down as close to where the data lives as possible and where the indexes live indeed. Yeah, exactly. I think the question is a little bit about the default interface in Data Fusion. So if I go back up. this is kind of what data fusion provides out of the box. What you can do here is a little bit limited. You can get data back. You can ask which columns. You can do some little limited filtering, and then limit how much records you want to get back. And that's obviously a little bit limited. Many remote database systems are way more expressive than this. For example, this would not be able to support joins. But the alternative here, what we're doing with Data Fusion Federation, is by cutting out a subplan, you can actually plug in your own serialization for that subplan. So if you're doing something complicated in there, you can actually materialize it back in whatever format that the remote database supports to then execute it with the full fidelity of the query language, get that back into Data Fusion, and then it will resolve the rest of the plan. Wait, I will. I'm not going to be able to understand if I don't. Yeah. So I think Data Fusion has a MySQL or Postgres-inspired dialect, and we are kind of entering on top of that. Then within the federation itself, you kind of get to choose in what dialect you materialize the plan to execute remotely. But outside of that, we do just use whatever Data Fusion uses, which is like a simple SQL. Yeah. All right. Thanks, everyone.